You're listening to Q-Talk Arizona. The following broadcast contains adult humor, language, and topics, along with partial nudity. Actual knowledge is used sparingly. This show is a result of a lost bet and a bad game of rock, paper, scissors. It's the show with Clayton McKee on Q-Talk Arizona. And now, a man with a face for radio, Clayton McKee.
For those of you listening, you are starting hour three on a Tuesday night with the show on Q-Talk America. Thank you for being here. For those of you also wondering why the aligners keep saying Q-Talk Arizona, well, it's because that's what we were when we paid for those, and we haven't yet paid for the new ones.
So if you'd like to send a check or money order to Q-Talk America.
Right, we will gladly.
To Katie June, 528 West.
Right, oh, no. she will cash that and we will get new liners. No, they're coming, they're actually
it's
already.
It's how David Packman pays for everything. Well, you call and become
Jesus,
a member.
I would love it if we could get somebody like maybe the NYPD pizza people and we just talk about them for weeks on end and they just buy new liners for us.
David Packman won't
that.
Take sponsors. It really is the listeners. Like they.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, so they get the
so
listeners.
So out of the 10 people that we have listening, what? I wonder what the exchange rate is to Australian money.
Yeah.
Send a
so
lot and we'll let you know.
The quote that I'm not getting, and I can't remember.
They're still on with us. I love that. Australia is still on with us as long as well.
Holla
as all
back,
the
Australia.
That's very cool. Yeah, literally. They've been on for 2 hours of this. I'd love to know who is listening from Australia. If you can find our chat room, please go to it. QTalkAmerica.com/chat. You can find us. And obviously, you're listening live. You already know the website. So just please let us know who you are, what's going on, and how you found us. That'd be very cool. We can continue on with the women in combat.
Yeah, and I didn't know this, but it was going to be what I was going to Google should I ever do that in the studio. was Ken in San Francisco. He was in the army, and he's saying, look at Israel, because Israel is really should be our model for anything that we want to do except for how to handle colonies or settlers. But they're the ones that handled airport security. They were shocked to find out after 9/11 that we didn't lock our cockpit doors because they've had so much problem with hijackers over the years and terrorism that you couldn't get into an LL airline for $1 million with
right.
a bomb.
Right.
They are shut down. Like they had already solved that. Gays in the military, they did it a long time ago. Turns out women in combat, like whenever you want something about security, you know,
check with somebody else.
call Israel, because they've already handled it and fixed it and done it well.
Right.
Like I said, they don't know what to do with settlers or all that other stuff, or you know,
some things they got.
Yeah, they're kind of reliving our civil war in their own special way, but to really generalize. Mm-hmm. So there's a really funny quote, and I have to get to that right level of drunk because I can usually rattle it off like what they say in 9 to 5, but it's like. I am my own best friend, my mother, myself. I have no fear of flying. I'm woman, hear me roar. And I can't remember if it's Gilda Radner or Lily Tomlin. So if anybody recognizes
the most
that.
The most amazing and surprising thing about that is, like you said that, and she laughed, Marnie laughed for fake in the beginning, and I just gave you a really perplexed look.
Yeah.
I feel like we should be the ones ultimately that know that.
And I didn't hear any
We're
of
not.
It because I was
no,
reading
no, no, no. So. Clayton's just drunk.
No, I'm not. I was reading the chat room. Fuck
yeah.
you, Katie
the
Jim.
You
little tart.
The reference is too old for you, awesome. And these two never watched anything, so I'm good.
Hey, wait,
but
I've seen 9 to 5.
It's either, no, so you know is
Tore
it because
right
I'm a selfish egotistical, lying, hypocritical bigot? That's the one I can rattle off the top of my head. And the other thing I can rattle off is, and I just can't think about it, but it's mother, myself, I'm my own best friend, I have no fear of flying, I'm woman, hear me roar. It's all the women's mantras, and it was at the end of the 70s, and it's either Gilda Radner from Gilda Live or Lily Tomlin, The Search for Intelligent Life. Signs of life in the universe.
You are good. You know what else is good?
That I'm
this
a savant.
This drink
like
is
I'm
good.
It
literally is.
It's almost like I'm like chewing it a little bit at the end, and I like
I want to go mug a homeless person and see if they've got like lemonade and vodka.
Wow. No more? You don't have any more lemonade? Because I feel sad.
And me too. There's going to be tears coming out.
You know what we can do? You know what we should do?
What would you do for a Klondike bar?
Ask a listener to drive it to us.
They'll bring it to us.
I'm going
to
who?
Rainbow
Cab. Oh,
soon. No. I'd like you.
Oh, Maddie
Joel.
Is Australia.
Matt, hi, Australia. Maddie, woo! That's it for Maddie. How amazing is that? We are.
That's so cool. Really fucking cool.
We are international, ladies
Thanks
and gentlemen.
For
we
have,
that's
Thanks
very
for
cool.
Listening,
Maddie. I
Clayton,
wonder if,
you are international.
But that's very cool. I'm very excited.
We are.
Well, I'm international only because I've slept with Mexicans. But if you.
Yeah, but that,
now we've got an Australian guy.
I know.
Maddie, I'm going to go
thank
with.
Thank you. I was going to say.
We're thinking
we
a guy.
Could,
we're thinking.
Because M-A-T-T-Y is a Maddie. That's a boy. M-A-T-T-I-E.
Like,
you don't necessarily know that.
And Maddie.
I know a guy named Maddie here.
I did enjoy Priscilla, Queen of the Desert. I enjoyed Priscilla, Queen of the Desert, in case that he cares.
I met a guy named Maddie that was from Minnesota, but lived here. That was
I thought it was going to be a limerick.
I did too. And I thought, if we're going for Irish poetry, I'm out.
I lived in Nantucket.
I will literally drive to the store to get more liquor.
I lived in Nantucket.
You remember that Nantucket shit?
Got you beat.
That's a lot of the alphabet right there. S, T, and D.
Here's my poetry. A cock and a frock and a rock.
Right. Things you need. Thank you. Priscilla.
Priscilla.
A lock, a buck, and a...
That's what they want to be. A cock and a frock and a rock.
It's afternoon. He was... Oh, he's not drinking with us.
But you should be, Maddie.
It's afternoon in Australia. Where he is, found us on iTunes.
No, he says he wishes he was.
He's not day drinking. Now, Maddie, are you at work? What are you doing during this afternoon?
Can you drink at work?
And by the way, it's
if not, bring a flask.
It's Wednesday there, so you're listening to us on a Wednesday.
So we're almost your dream of a morning
today,
show.
Tomorrow.
That's very
good. We may have had our
our cherry popped.
What happened?
We may have our drinking dreams coming true. Oh, because Sean Nerdahl, who is listening on the radio, is
driving around town.
Texted me and said, "I'm at the grocery store. Say you really want a Klondike bar, and I want a Klondike bar,
but lemonade.
Yeah,
but we need.
But what we need is 12 ounces of frozen lemonade concentrate.
Let's do this from
the frozen juice section.
Here, send him a picture of that.
Okay,
just send
can't you put a scanning app on there?
He's about to be our next special guest.
Yes,
generic lemonade, ladies and gentlemen. You're drunk enough to think you need a photo of it.
And even though they're not a sponsor, it's Safeway frozen lemonade. Right, Safeway brand lemonade, which, by the way...
But if you go to Fry's, they have generic as well. Go ahead.
Right,
you guys, this is really bad for my cabbage soup diet. I'm certain.
Because now you're really going to shit your pants. You're going to have the bends the whole
time. I have a little something to say about that. Fuck your Cabbage Patch
or
Kid
the
diet.
The bends.
Did you say Cabbage Patch Kids? What did you say?
Definitely not.
Well, whatever. I heard cabbage.
Now, I want you to know that this is how drunk Ruthie would get her guests on holidays.
Fucking Ruthie.
Wait, what else do we need?
Frozen lemonade and get
the recipe from Al. I'm going to talk about Maddie.
What?
Maddie in Australia.
No, we have vodka and whiskey left. We just need the lemonade.
Is that all we need?
Oh, she has ice. Maddie.
Not enough. Get some more.
Maddie is an artist. He's at home painting right now in Australia. What?
No, go on.
No, I'm just saying. I'm reading in the chat room. Maddie is an artist. He's at home painting. He says, "I have to pick up my husband soon, so I can't drink yet." Oh, another fucking guy
who's
married.
Maddie, what's your husband's name?
Maddie, what's that? Give a shout out to your husband.
He found us on iTunes.
He found us on iTunes.
Oh, I love that I'm on iTunes talking.
But I love it that we say explicit. There's something about that.
No,
that
we have to. It's a disclaimer.
Happy.
Well,
no,
you want me to tell you the story about how we got to Beverly?
I feel like we should say, fucking cunt, fucking shit.
By the way, Maddie, here's why we are explicit.
Cocksucker!
Because we drink, we say cocksucker, and we say cunt. Welcome, Maddie.
And the content goes down.
Wait a minute. Where'd that story come from? Where's the cocksucker story? Oh, you know, Gary Miller.
Cocksucker.
Yes.
Gary, this is the funny story. Gary
peanut
Miller.
Peanut server.
No, yeah, peanut server, exactly. Yeah, yeah. Gary Miller from Southwest Airlines, who is Adrian Alexander.
Brilliant.
Funny, friends with the Scott Tickler, Victoria London,
funny,
the whole
funny,
thing.
Funny.
We'll text it to you in a second. His mother and father, been together forever and ever and ever. That's his father's word. Everything would go wrong. It was always cocksucker, cocksucker. So he was outside painting the house, working on something, and something went terribly wrong. And he kept saying that. So she was done with it. So she walked outside in the middle of their neighborhood and started just screaming at him at the top of her lungs as he's on a ladder. She's just going, "Cocksucker!" yelling and screaming at him. He quit saying it.
Gary's mom did that.
Gary's mom.
Oh, my God. That's
I'm sure I fucked up the story, but...
It doesn't matter. That's funny.
But the cocksucker is totally a story regarding Gary. And I haven't seen Gary in a long time.
I haven't either.
Yeah, he's busy. I'm not sure.
Yeah, he's very busy. But
oh, fuck you, Maddie. Your husband's Brazilian?
Oh, shit.
Maddie, send us a picture.
Well played, Maddie.
Can you figure... Go to our...
by the way, that was rude of you. We'd like to see one of you as well, Maddie.
Well okay. If Maddie's listening to the show, he knows that there's something to do with Latino men and me. So
yeah, but if it's his first time,
Maddie, send us pictures of you guys together. That would be so cute.
Something about iTunes radio is new for us, which is good, and also something about pubic hair, which is also
new to them. Is that new to them too? Oh my God, are you 12?
No. Well, maybe. Because of a Brazilian,
which I do regularly in laser form.
Really?
Yeah.
How do you feel that?
I feel great.
We have reached a whole new level.
Clean. Yeah, I feel really super clean.
I understand the clean part.
I did it to myself today.
Do you feel
laser?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Laser.
Do you feel tart?
I feel like a real tart.
I feel like a real fucking tart.
I'm going to have to make another beverage in a minute. Australians are
here. Will you
type
the address?
Hola.
Did you
in here?
Somebody want to read what Maddie just posted?
Australians are all up for the cock and cunt. No fear with the potty mouth
I
here.
Love it.
You know why, Maddie? You're my new best friend. You guys, we should go out to Australia and do a live show.
Can
from
we
Australia.
Drive? Can we drive there?
Really? I think so.
No. You know what'll happen?
Well, kind of.
We'll book the trip, and Clayton will be like, "But I have to be back day after tomorrow."
That's
to host
right, because I host bingo.
Yeah.
Wait.
Does this involve me taking off a Monday night?
Yeah. We have to get to...
Ken says they fall out of the womb calling someone a cunt in Australia. Thanks, Ken.
And that was the thing about Billy Elliot is that's why that movie Twat and Cunt are used all the time because they don't mean it... Like, the only really dirty
Twat's
thing to them...
not really a bad word.
No.
In general.
It can be.
But the one thing that the little...
I mean, how you use it.
In Billy Elliot, the little girl says to him, "Do you want to? Can I show you my fanny?" Not realizing, and that gets by the censors, but in Britain, fanny is
means
pussy.
Pranani.
Yeah.
Ah.
Can I show you my hoo-ha?
Can I show you my Oprah Winfrey?
Which is really like...
Want to see my Gale?
Yeah.
Totally, this is inappropriate.
That's even better.
But a thing I'm going through, what do you do with like a little kid when you are...
You get that goddamn cat off your
when
mouth.
When you're talking to a little kid. Do you be...
You give them...
You do the real word.
You do the real word.
Yeah, because that's kind of what I'm doing.
Because otherwise
Kelly
you introduce
like,
shame. Otherwise I think you would
That's kind of what
shame.
We're doing.
I agree.
And I'm only asking you because you work in a restaurant. Yeah. I know restaurants like
no,
do
but,
that.
But my mom did that because she was labor and delivery. She was always like, just give it the real name. Give it, call it what it is, own it.
Let him ask questions later, like what, you know, but I've heard this.
And there's nothing dirty or nothing bad about that area.
Because it's starting to come up a little bit. Like,
is it?
Okay. There we go.
A little bit of like
I text Sean
our address. Thank you. Yeah. A little bit of acknowledgement.
Yeah. There's nothing dirty or bad about it, but you got it's yours. That's the one thing to make sure that you
the
let
hell
them.
Did Joe just do? He's something an email in the chat room. I'm a little lost.
Oh my God, Maddie wants us to come to Australia. Done.
Okay. We're on our way.
Joe. I mean, Maddie.
Is there a flight that goes out
can
tonight?
We stay with you, Maddie? Because we'll come if we have a place to stay.
Does
right?
He...
By the way, we don't mean to invade your space. But yeah, Katie Jones.
Oh, there's a way to do email.
Oh,
too.
That's what that link is. Thank you, Joe. So if you want to email us, click on the link that Joe just posted that says email. You can shoot us a picture and it'll come right to my email and I can share it with the
also,
masses.
Also, Ken in San Francisco wants to come with us to Australia. So I say yes.
Well, no. I think it's fun. Like Harrison and Tyler over the course of these many months have kind of gotten like had a friendship.
Friendly.
Yeah,
right.
They're kind of like pen pals, dirty. You know what I mean?
Oh, Tyler and Harrison?
Yeah.
And my favorite thing about it, I have to bring it up every week, especially when I'm drinking, is that Tyler is the reason I can never meet anybody online because now I know exactly how I come across.
As a bitch?
Like
as,
a murdering
a tart
no,
bitch?
No, the bitch thing is never going to change. You can meet me in person, be a male. But
knifing.
Tart.
Right.
Tart.
The fact that I come up is even remotely violent is so...
Because I feel like knowing you for the extent that I do is like not even a little bit.
Yeah,
like you are probably like the most delicate little flower.
Yeah, the biggest pass, I get nauseous at the thought of someone hitting someone... Like if a knife leaves a piece of celery,
well,
I can't even deal.
Right.
Can
I didn't want to snap their fucking
say
necks
say something
on
that,
that plane,
I actually
but,
cried
you know.
About last night is that I was looking... So, right, we all YouTube and Google and Facebook and bullshit. And so I click through this link on a hood rat videos or something
hood
really
rat.
Embarrassing
okay.
that, on Facebook that I saw. And there was an image. I mean, it was a video. I mean, this was actually happening. And I was sick to my stomach. And it was a mother in some... weird Southern American country speaking some Spanish-esque kind of language. A little bit, yeah. Except for I wasn't... That was like... That was tears of like...
Overwhelming.
I don't know. Not actually a little bit. No.
though?
Wow.
No.
Well, we are not getting our SAG cards.
Hopefully Africa will wait to join us till next week.
We're not getting
my clicking on Wednesday.
We're not getting our SAG cards anytime soon.
Or listen, at least the show tunes queens from Africa. Go ahead.
I love the show tunes queens. So this little... Okay, Jesus, so there was a mother who was holding down... This is devastating. Holding down her son and holding his arm out and getting him tattooed. And he was probably...
For what reason?
He had to have been no older than Palmer.
It's like piercing their ears.
17 and a half months.
Oh, that's not right.
He was screaming, crying in pain. And all these people are like, you know, language around him.
I think that's not what they said.
We're back defending the international. There we go.
Hey, like
it
I said,
is.
I click on Wednesdays.
Anyway,
it reminds me of a Dame Edna segment I saw this week. Oh, my God. Go ahead, finish your point, Kate.
Well, it was incredibly offensive. And I'm sure that you also think that I was incredibly offensive.
Nobody cares.
Was the most devastating and offensive. And I don't remember why
but
I just thought of
so
it.
So much
thing
cultural.
I've seen.
I mean,
this can't be cultural.
This isn't that cultural, but this is going on in like areas of these United States also. Where these people that, because they're so into tattoos, they're tattooing their children.
Infant. Palmer's age.
And they're, really young. They're scarring their bodies for life.
They're also doing that in other points in the country, maybe even here, but in other countries.
Oh, no, it's going on here.
No, but I'm saying people are bringing...
These are
white trash.
This is like Kentucky that I'd like.
And I don't mean white trash because these people were definitely not white, but they're trashy. This is like
This is going on here in Arizona with of people that the Mayflower is many generations away. Yes.
I was almost in tears because this baby is screaming hysterically. And like all I could think about is that when Palmer screams hysterically, I pick her up and hug her and try to make her feel better. And oh, my God, what can I do? And like, how can we fix it? Unless she's screaming because I won't let her eat dog food. That's a thing that happens. Let her scream.
There's nothing unhealthy about it.
Yeah, there's nothing unhealthy in dog food.
She gets really upset when I say no.
Unless she get that robberized stuff or whatever.
When I say no to the dog food.
Don't feed her that.
It's dry dog food, so that's not as bad.
No, it's...
She loves it.
I saw an episode of
Good Times.
When
the zombie apocalypse... Christ in a sidecar.
Or
when
Ted
the
Koppel.
Zombie Ted Koppel shows up.
Obamni. People, we're talking about Obamni.
Or Mernie and Ernie.
Mernie and Ernie.
I don't think that's what it was. And fuck off.
Whatever.
Goddamn, the fact that I'm going to have to hear Mernie and Ernie from now on.
That was sold.
Sold. Actually, it just flows off your tongue a little bit faster, doesn't it?
So when the zombie apocalypse comes, I still can't say it. Dog food's on the list of things to eat.
Shit.
Yes.
That Palmer is just like really intuitive and she's preparing?
I think she's a zombie.
But it's...
Oh, my God.
That's one of those...
What?
Oh, my God. That's one of those weird phases, though. And as long as it's... I mean, you're fine. Dogs can't eat chocolate. Kids probably shouldn't eat, like, wet cat food. But...
Shouldn't.
It's dry.
But if it's there, it's there.
It's dry.
There's
so she's
fine. Nothing is going to harm your cat. And Friskies
That'd
is going to
be
fine.
Kid.
Ham your cat. Ham your cat. All right. You fucked up,
but
and
Friskies.
I just took it somewhere new.
All right. Maddie, listen next week. It's not always like this. Yes, it is.
But out of this studio, you and I are riding bikes home. So there's
Christmas. And everybody else is getting cabs.
Yes. Can I ask you, because Maddie actually has
a cab?
Tyler in Tennessee. And Harrison. I mean, we have some good questions on here, but
both of them.
I don't like anything that's going to bring us down.
I want to ask you about, I want to just bring up, because I had a couple of notes on RuPaul's Drag Race, because although I was not there last night.
Hey, wait, can we talk about it loudly?
And we have our three questions
now. The show's not on, we can talk about it loudly.
Okay, I want to make sure. I
yelled at the bar last night, I'm like, you're going to fucking watch this show, shut up.
I am I love drag queens, like to the point where I used to be involved in Cappy with Pride, and I would go to like the national and regional and national Pride conventions, and they'd have drag queens, and I was that only dumb bitch in there, like crying out of enjoyment.
By the way, I don't
crying
know what Cappy is.
Help because me. Again, Consolidated Inter Pride Association.
Okay,
so it's international; it's a whole thing. I'm telling you, I cry at theater.
Thing.
I cry when I see drag queens that are fabulous. I love drag.
Oh, Dream Girls! It was
Dream
bong,
Girls,
bong,
and
I
you
cried.
Were like,
I was done. All I needed was the three bells that start, and I am telling you. and they had just called her fat and useless, and, and they just beat the shit out of her for like 10
and
minutes.
I thought I was in the cast for just a moment.
But I love drag queens so much.
Yes.
And I love RuPaul's Drag Race.
Do you have a question, Elizabeth Hasselbeck?
Oh, I'm surprised you ever brought up Barbara Walters.
We'll talk about that.
Yeah, Barbara Walters.
Finish your. Finish your question to me.
Okay. God, I hope we don't have to pay for that.
Did you? Okay, I just wanted to know. I wrote down was that in the pool, the girls were hilarious with their fish faces.
Oh, that was some brutal
swimming
stuff. What I thought about, if you haven't watched RuPaul's Drag Race, the first episode of season 5, which aired last night. Find it on YouTube, watch it, blah, blah, because I'm not going to explain it all to you. But they did was a kind of a Hollywood tribute to Esther Williams. Crystal Waters.
What are you talking about?
Crystal Waters. Yeah, Esther Williams, who did all those movies in the pool. So they had the queens get into a pool. Like, they walked into the show.
Busby Berkeley extravaganzas. I got a phrase out. Thank you.
So they're all in full get-up. And they make them get in a pool of water and do the... It was brutal. Because I can't imagine. Full drag, full wig, everything is set, and they make them get in water, full shoes, everything. So whatever the
full
fuck they...
Full shoes?
Shoes.
Like heels?
Like, you shouldn't probably get wet shoes. They made them all get... Yeah. But they're vying for $100,000, so they're going to ruin anything they got. Didn't care. Yeah. But
Harrison would not agree with that.
The first episode was pretty good. I was surprised of the queen that got voted off. Her drag name is Penetration, and they commenting about the fact that if she had a twin, it would be double Penetration.
Wow,
yeah, that's funny.
She didn't know her in the final where she had to lip sync for her life. She clearly did not know the words to that song, and that was really, I think that's what killed her, because the queen that she was up against was horrible, in my opinion. So Penetration is out. We have 13 more queens to go. So lucky 13 is where we are. And then is Sean Nerdahl here? Sean Nerdahl has brought us booze.
Oh, funny.
And Klondike bars and lemonade. Look at you, Sean.
No, come in.
Come on in. Look at you. You're all dressed up with
Katie
no place
June,
to go.
I almost pulled something in my back. I thought you fell down.
Oh, I appreciate it.
I get out of here like there was a hot Mexican in the lobby.
Clayton. Yeah, that's what Clayton
did. I appreciate the fact that it's the exact same lemonade we've been drinking. Do you need that?
I sent him the picture.
Yeah. There won't be any. I've run out of eggs, so there's no more.
By the way, you're very dapper.
Oh, thanks.
Can I do...
We'd like to welcome Sean Nerdahl. Yeah, give him those.
Up here.
If you can figure that out.
So where are those? Are we going to do the question now?
Oh, we're going to, but I have to play your thingy in a minute. We're not ready for that yet because you got to do that. Sean Nerdahl is here. She brought you Klondike bars, and you brought lemonade. So Al's making the whatever the fuck drink he's making. It's something. Fantastic. It's really good. These are good.
It's not on the cabbage soup diet, but
the cabbage patch diet, which is like you do this.
That's your exercise for the day.
You guys, can I just say this is really exciting?
Go.
Okay, so Sean,
can
and
someone
I,
take pictures of them?
Well, I can.
Sean and I, because I feel the love.
Danced in Dancing with the
and
bars.
You can't take a
Dancing
picture of a blackberry.
And I like had I fell in love.
I know.
Like
I
fell in love.
Stand by, I'm going to take a picture. 1, 2, photobomb by Marnie. Got it. All right, go.
Perfect.
Okay, good.
And so it's just so good to see you. Like, we've talked about, like, oh, let's do lunch and da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
So this is the first time you're really seeing each other?
Yeah, actually.
Oh, wow.
Okay, that's pretty fun.
It's been a while. Like 4 months maybe.
I mean,
that's fun.
It's been a long time.
Kelly bought me. Well, she didn't buy me, but she. Thank you.
You look good.
Okay. By the way, this little schmooze fest is so fun.
Honest to God, I fell in love with this man.
Yeah, that's
like, I love
sweet.
It. And Kelly said I can have dance lessons for Christmas.
Oh.
You mean next Christmas?
No, this year.
Next Christmas.
I'm like, wow, you gotta wait.
I'm moving up here, by the way.
You gotta
7th
wait.
7th Avenue and McDowell. So.
Like your life moving or your job moving?
No, just my life.
I mean, that's good, but still working in Chandler. Yeah. But I'm like, I got
Hashtag lucky.
I got the Christmas gift. So, listen.
I know, let's do it. Let's dance.
Oh, they're so cute. And
we are really super in love. Yeah,
she would bring Palmer every day, and Palmer would be like right underneath our feet while we're learning the routine.
Yes.
And yeah, it was so much fun.
Oh, Al's back.
Oh,
Thank you.
What am I smelling? What is? I don't know what that is. Okay,
fire.
Here.
I bet it's fire.
No, it's not. I have candles. We're good.
Can we get an extra? Do you have an extra?
We've got cup. We can do that. Okay, so Al's gonna run the blender again. Here we go, Al.
Run the things.
I think it's fun to have the blender doing it. Yeah, we'll get there. Stand by. All right.
Who cares about time?
No, we'll get it. All right, here we go. It's 9:23. We are coming right back with a little bit of blended drinks and thoughtful vulgarity right here on Q Talk America.
And now, the rest of the story.
And now, thoughtful vulgarity, where we in the studio try to make ourselves slightly less shallow, which is not hard to do. We will ask one question of the panel and have them try to answer it while fucked up drunk. Because you know at home how well it goes when an important question comes up 90 minutes after alcohol has been served. Politics? Religion? Why not? You're fucked up. What could possibly go wrong? Who could you offend? You've been warned. Good luck.
Go for Al.
Well, thanks for the delectableness.
Get your own.
Now, this with Bailey's,
I just
kind of want to point out this with Bailey's is kind of vile. So allow me to finish the one.
And with wine, it is amazing.
The fact that it hasn't fucking curdled. All right.
I just posted, by the way, if you go to our Facebook page, I just posted a picture of Katie, Marnie, and Sean. Sean, who just brought us the makings for our blended beverages.
Well done, Sean. He's such a tart.
Welcome, Sean.
Thank you.
This is very exciting.
Okay,
go.
our questions are supplied by the chat room today.
Okay.
Our first one is your most embarrassing. I know, you're supposed to say spoiler alert when you say something that people have not had a chance to watch yet.
Whatever.
What was your most embarrassing memory or moment? Like, what's.
I have one.
And Marnie, you can't bitch because
recently.
It's been on the page for like the last 15 minutes.
Embarrassing?
Oh, but I haven't been on there. I haven't been there.
Do I have a most embarrassing moment?
In general? Like, just in life?
Yeah, in life. Moment, memory, like, what's the thing?
Go ahead.
Of course you
Please
may.
Please do.
The egg actually adds a lot to this drink.
I know, I told you, and I have to hide it from people.
Yeah. Give me a shopping list, people. What do I need to lay into that? We have a refrigerator.
We'll tell you next week. We've got some lemonade already up in the mix.
Yeah,
Honey, vodka, and eggs.
Jason Carlton go to the store. He loves to shop. He has coupons for everything.
And he can go with your mom on the first Wednesday of the month.
He and his boyfriend can go on the days they lay in bed and watch TV all day.
Embarrassing moment.
All right, go ahead.
Circle back. I was embarrassed.
Back, thank you.
Come on, bitches.
I was embarrassed a few weeks ago when I got shit canned here. And
Marnie just spit.
Actual spit take. That's the first in the new studio. That's the first launch of the new studio.
Give it to me, Marnie.
For clarification, you weren't shit canned. You got shit faced.
That's actually true.
Give it to me, baby.
Another really embarrassing moment was when I was shit faced with Marnie in another occasion, as a matter of fact. When
on the bar?
That's the time.
No, that's when she woke up in Marnie's house.
And I did wake up in Marnie's house. I was horrified. Thank God. Thank you, beautiful, beautiful woman.
Oh, you're welcome.
I'll
clean that carpet.
Like, actually, but that's all drunk, silly embarrassing. Yeah. I can't recall a moment when I was actually, like, that's drunk embarrassment when I can go, I was fucking wasted, whatever. And I can, like, brush it off, but I don't remember.
You brush it off because you don't remember it, right?
Yeah.
Mostly. I mean, like, true, and I don't mean that as a put down. What I'm saying is that there are times where I look back and go, well, that's fun.
According to everybody else.
Right.
I remember it was actually at the Sway Events women's pool party at the Clarendon.
That makes me remind me of mine.
Oh, shit. Okay. So it was Sway Events used to always do a pool party with Ion at the Clarendon. Right. So one year we're out there doing the women's pool party, the men's big Ion pool party, and me and two other lesbians. That was it. There was two other women, like a couple women there only. We were on the second floor balcony. And we're watching all these men in like shorty shorts and nothing, like partying, getting drunk and making out. And we're like
they do, like they do.
This should be a ladies' party also. Cut to following year, we throw a women's party and the Clarendon kicked us out forevermore.
Yes, they did.
After that party, were you there?
I was not there. No. I don't like
I wish
don't
I
like
wouldn't
lesbians.
Have been.
I'm going to tell you. There
was. I mean, I like you.
Thank
I mean, Kelly
you.
Is lovely.
Oh, thank you.
There's a select few of the estrogen-filled bunch.
Was was a fucking shit show.
I mean,
there was
the
like pot smoking, vomiting in bushes, like beer bongs. I was topless for the majority of the event.
Why
was and there were
there?
Pictures of it. There was like chicken fighting out of water. People were like fucking on the roof. It was bad.
Yes, there was a lot going on.
So I go
my
in.
What exactly was that?
I'm not sure.
It was bad. I went into the cache like a day after, but fortunately we were all in the same boat. Like everybody was in the same boat. Thank you, Jesus. Because I walk in and I see Kat, and I go, I said to her, Kat Carlson, and I'm like, what's up? And she goes, I don't know. Do you remember much? I'm like, no. Do you? And she goes, no. Oh my God. Thank God. Thank you, Jesus. Neither of us do. And it ended up being that conversation with many women over the course of a few weeks. Like, nobody remembered, and thank fucking God, because we were all horrible assholes.
As it comes back to it, just gets more and more terrifying.
Were there just pictures or videos? I'm just
there
saying.
There was a girl who had pictures of me topless on the stage, and she moved.
Well, who doesn't have pictures of you topless?
Well,
was that out loud?
She moved.
I'm sorry.
She moved.
My bad.
Well, let's just say one knows where she is.
Well, I'm going to tell.
Do you know who it is?
I know who it is, and I know where she lives. And I'm not telling.
Okay.
I hope it's not you. Oh, my God. Is it you? You also have pictures? Marnie, delete.
Okay, well, just
this
for
the
record.
This is the woman who doesn't want to be photographed from the side, and she's going to threaten you with a picture?
No, I would never blackmail you.
Marnie, you know something more than I know, because I was really drunk that day.
In case anybody cares, I have a backup of every picture Marnie's ever taken on my computer.
I might need those.
That's really true.
I don't
have anything.
Group delete. All right, Sean, what's yours?
Okay, so mine actually takes place at the same exact spot. At the Clarendon Hotel. Myself, James, my friend John, and James's boyfriend Johnny, we got a hotel room on the 4th of July. And we had that week off, so we were really excited. We're like, oh, we'll go pool party, whatever. It's going to be great. Well, 4th of July was in the middle of the week, and there was no one there but families. So it's the four of us, and we had lunch. It was like 3:30 in the afternoon. And
Al's sisters.
Yeah. there's a bunch of kids swimming. Everything's going, and we started drinking. And right before we started drinking, James does the quote from The Hangover, like the pack.
I'm a one-man wolf pack.
Quote was. So not even 2 hours later, I am sitting on the little bench out at the pool, and all of a sudden the walls are going like side and it's swaying.
Gotcha.
And it's still light out. It's 5:00. We've only been drinking for 2 hours.
Uh-huh.
And next thing I know, I start puking over the side of the pool. Oh.
In the pool?
It was in the yard. Oh,
okay.
So it
wasn't
in the pool.
Wow.
So I'm puking. There's families around, mind you.
Kids like, Mommy. And then
Flu. Everybody left me. They went to go get more shots, and James went back up into the room. The personnel at the front desk comes and asks me if I'm all right, and I'm like, he's like, do you need a ride home? And I'm like, no, I'm staying here, it's okay.
I'm gonna puke in your room soon.
You're gonna have a room to clean up later, so just advance notice.
And a room Jesus. With a boot.
And the story gets better because cut to me walking up the stairs, and you know it's outside. I'm puking as I'm walking down up the stairs.
My gosh!
I get to the room, I knock on the door because I don't have my key. Luckily, James has answers. James is also just in the same boat that I am. Minutes prior to me knocking on the door, he knocked over a glass shelf, cut his legs up. He's bleeding all over the place. This place looks like it's a crime scene.
Right.
We wake up the next day. We leave. We got a call from the hotel manager. Was not too impressed with our
the fact that you were alive, I think I would have been impressed. Right. I think.
Yeah. So that was a $500 cleanup fee that we got charged. And they weren't very happy about it.
Wow. Are you also invited to never return?
Yeah.
Because I am
actually
invited
to
never
return. I'm too embarrassed. But that was awful. Especially with all the looks of the families and the little kids as you're throwing.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of families and little kids. Marnie, you want to go?
Mine's boring.
Go ahead.
Yours is boring, but I can't even come up with one yet.
No, honestly,
I have so many, actually.
No, I mean, there are different things I've done, but a lot of it, shamefully, falls under the the little blanket of being too hammered and somebody else telling me. But what I remember...
Those qualify.
Well...
Because you still have to sit and listen to the story.
No, because I don't know that I believe these motherfuckers. So...
Oh, I've told you a few of those stories, so you can believe me.
No, I believe you.
Okay, got it.
I believe you.
All right.
It's just the other ones are more embarrassing. If they're real. So,
Kung Fu Panda is not embarrassing?
Kung Fu Panda is embarrassing, but come on,
it's
adorable.
Fun. It was fun.
Yeah, that's cute. Oh, that came out wrong. Yeah, I mean, please, that's cuter.
Right.
No, mine is just stupid, and I'm okay with that. I'm in college, and I'm taking, I'm trying to be really smart, which really defeated.
Which you are.
No, you're sweet. No, I defeated myself right away by taking these two classes, and I took logic and ethics in the same semester.
That is not smart of you.
Nope, no. Not even a little bit. No, and so I'm reading everything I'm supposed to read, and I'm doing everything I'm supposed to do, and I go into this class, and there's it's the rows, and there are probably 12 rows, and I'm going to say they're probably 12 across, 144 seats. Not bad for being sucking at math. So I'm in the middle. That's the only seat that was left, right there, smack dab in the middle, and. I was in my ethics class, and the professor was a pompous ass and asked a question, and boom, my hand went up, and I fucking knew this answer. I'm going to tell you, Sean, I knew that answer, and all these other motherfuckers, and sit down, because I'm going to tell them about ethics, and I did, and he looked at me, and he said, that was a brilliant answer, and I beamed, and I said, I know. And then he looked at me and he said, no, do you have logic this semester? Yes. And he said, why don't you go ahead and use that in that class? This is ethics. And it was so similar, the two classes, that sitting there in the middle of roughly 144 people.
You forgot what class you were in?
I forgot what fucking class I was in.
Oh, no. Wow.
So I'm sitting there and I'm answering and I'm giving a real
you're
right.
You are selling.
Boom,
you are selling.
Boom, right. Boom, boom. I got you.
Damn, Gina. And I had, borrowing your line from earlier.
Damn,
well
Gina.
Done.
We all got to do that.
It should be Rita now from now on.
Damn, Rita. And but yeah, that pretty much fucking sucked right there. And so you sit
that's
there,
humiliating, Mark.
Humiliating.
Yeah,
and embarrassing.
Humiliating.
You're right in the middle of this. And where are you going to go? Where are you going?
Yeah.
I wasn't on the end where
no.
I could be like,
fuck y'all.
I'm going to run to the loo. No.
And then never come back.
Right in the middle. And I'm like, I couldn't have turned more shades of red, different shades. So anyway, that's boring, but that's my embarrassing moment.
No, but that's
moment.
Like if you can like really jump into your head at that moment, that's really embarrassing.
And if you can live through it, you're a strong
then
human
boom.
Being.
Yeah.
Yeah, because that really was not my proudest moment.
I really can't. Nothing really comes to mind in regards to an embarrassing moment. And you all were probably
asleep at a bar, not able to find straight ahead at a stoplight.
You know, but I think the thing is with, and I can't speak for these
Ow.
Two, but with
doing a 180 at 60 miles an hour in a cul-de-sac.
In a Hummer.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Helen was a good time.
Oh, yes.
No. No, I don't have many.
No, but because we don't get embarrassed. I mean, we
I
look
don't.
Back and go, God, that was fucked up.
Yeah.
But
one night at Charlie's years ago, I fell asleep in the bar, and the boys thought it was funny because it was just after Cinco de Mayo, and they got a sombrero and they put it on me, and I never woke up, and they took pictures of me.
Why haven't I seen those photos?
Because I threatened them all with deportation.
Because he doesn't know where she moved.
And that's like a legitimate threat with those Charlie's boys.
Yeah.
Like they might be packing.
It was years ago before
that's
we had
funny.
The the e-verify, so we were a little different.
E-verify.
God, I want to see you in a single really
with a dirty Sanchez.
Yeah.
Wait, with a dirty Sanchez? That could be any Friday night.
Yeah, exactly. Urban
you
Dictionary.
But I'm sure there are, but I don't really think of, there's not a whole lot of embarrassing moments that I guess I just chalk them up to experience that I don't think they're so embarrassing.
Oh, I have another one.
Well, we're gonna combine.
Where's
two.
Yours?
So I'm gonna do it right now. But oh. I'm gonna swing us into the next question by telling both.
Segway. Atta girl.
So our next question is gonna be like, what story can you not tell without laughing? Like, what what can you not get? Like, what thing from the past can you not tell with a straight face? So we'll do both. My most embarrassing moment was I was in, I don't even remember what show it was. But I'm sitting there, and I was with somebody, thank God. So at least I wasn't talking to a complete stranger and risking this embarrassment twice. And I was just ragging on the person that was on stage. I'm like, this guy or this girl is just fucking awful. I'm like, I cannot believe. And I must have been, and I don't even think it was intermission. I think I was actually talking loud during the performance.
During the performance, good.
And I was like, this is just the shittiest fucking thing. And the rest of the show was good, but this one performer was just driving me nuts, and I get the lean forward. That's my kid.
Oh. Yes.
Oh.
Yes. And that'll make you swallow yourself.
Wow.
Usher, may I move?
Wow.
Any seats available? And, I mean, I ragged on this performer. And now it's been so long that I can't remember if it was a man or a woman.
That's funny.
But wow. The story that I can never tell without laughing, and we'll just get it on the air now since this is my own oral history and the one that always gets told wrong, so we'll put it for posterity, told correctly. Many, many years ago, I used to go to Charlie's all the time with our friend Mike Fornelli.
I already know where we're going.
And we would go on Sunday nights to Charlie's. And we would watch all the guys line dance, country line dance, which I thought was just like watching aliens land. I didn't know what the fuck they were doing. I don't understand country music or
swimming.
Line dancing.
Ethel Merman.
Right.
Oh, to me, it's like watching people from another planet. Like, I don't know what you're doing or why you're doing it or why it's entertaining.
Yes.
So I'm watching it, and there's one black man in the middle of it with a big smile. He's so friendly, and he's dancing and having a grand old time, and I just thought he was the cutest thing, and I would talk to Mike about it all the time, and look at that cutie dancing, and Mike is not into the same guys as I was, so we were not so when I just said cutie,
clearly.
We were not looking at the same person at all. He was looking at his cutie, I'm looking at my cutie, and every Monday we would go to Wings for karaoke, and I would be like, oh, that's him, and Mike would be like, okay. So then another week goes by, and I'm like, look at that cutie dancing. And, of course, I would never put a name or any description to him because I just assumed we were looking at the same guy. So every Sunday I would see this guy at Charlie's dancing his heart out, and there I am thinking, wow, this is like you're psychic or, you know, I mean, you can move things with your mind. Like, I don't know, you're Carrie. I don't get line
telekinetic.
Dancing.
Telekinetic.
Yeah, to me it's just stupidity. But very entertaining to watch. And I just stand there with my drink and make fun of everybody else, but this one cutie. So finally, like the third week of it, Mike's like, well, go say hi to him. So I went up to this charming black man at Wings who was a nice singer, and I was so excited, and we talked, and we met, and we hit it off, and had a good time, and we went home, and we got it. He was my trick for the evening, Tyler. And then we had another date and another date, and we were sleeping together, and this was before I worked nights. I was still, I don't know where I think I was working for Hilton, but I was working in daytime, so I could sleep with somebody on multiple nights. Very exciting times. Heady with joy.
Clearly an old story.
Where I could do a repeat performance of the same, you're like,
I didn't think that happened.
Yeah, I didn't either.
Ever.
So then it comes around that Sunday's coming around, and he asked me to go somewhere. I'm like, well, don't we have to go do that thing you do?
Ooh.
And he was like, what? I'm like, oh. I'm like, okay. I'm like, no, I'm going to go out with my friend Mike. So I told him, well, I usually go to Charlie's on Sunday, thinking, well, you have to won't I see you there? So I go to Charlie's to watch the inevitable line dancing, and I'm like, there he is. And Mike's like laughing, and he's like, okay, because Mike had been at Winks too. And then I see the guy that I'm sleeping with walk across from the other side of the bar, and I'm like, oh, I'm so confused. And Mike goes, why? I'm like, because that's the guy that I like, but the guy over there is the guy that I'm sleeping with. So Mike goes, what? I'm like, we've been watching this guy dance every week, but I'm sleeping with this guy over here. And Mike goes, the cutie has one arm.
I remember hearing that.
I've heard this story.
Mike goes, you realize. realize that the guy on the dance floor that you've been watching for weeks line dance is missing an arm, and I didn't notice it because I was so delighted by the line dancing. I didn't realize that he was clapping a stump. So it was one hand clamps a stump.
Which is that really clapping?
So Mike is sitting there with his drink at the railing of the old Charlie's. He goes, "Al, if you get confused again, just ask them to do a handstand. Whichever one falls over is the one you like." And I'm like, and I had to kind of dump the guy that I was sleeping with to be like, "You're cute, but I really, you have too many arms.
Oh, you're not the one. You have one too many arms,
sir or ma'am." Sir, ma'am.
However you self-identify.
Here I think you're going to say it just wasn't the guy. No, the guy actually only had it.
Why not?
Now, the one-armed black guy actually used to live with, so I know who.
Yes! So then when I leave BS West, because this story became legend. Mike always tells it wrong, and he makes it that I slept with the guy. And what's his name? He's such a charming.
Nathaniel.
He's such a nice guy, and I got to know him later, and I could never tell him.
Nathaniel's the one with one arm that you love. Yes. That
but
you
I could never tell him what
now,
the actual
isn't
story.
More to the story about
thank you, Sean. Thank you for that.
I'm glad Sean's here
because it was Mike's favorite story of all time because he was just dumbfounded.
It's
he was
a great story. God damn!
For when I left BS West, they had a party for me, and Mike got a mannequin's arm, and
he
spray painted it black. And he was like, if you ever get confused again, here's an arm. So that at least you can justify the two guys looking alike. Hold this arm against this guy.
Oh my God.
In nursing school later that year, I'm carpooling with some people. And Nathaniel lives near 7th Avenue and McDowell. So we're pulling into Chico's Taco Starbucks for breakfast. And the girls that I'm carpooling with, we're all just laughing. And Nathaniel walks by and I'm like, oh, I've got his arm in my trunk.
And oh my God, like, come on.
They're like, what? Because I don't, like, I never take anything out of my car until Clayton takes it and gets everything out of my car. So I had this black arm in my trunk for like 2 years.
Oh
my God, look at that guy. I have his arm in my trunk. So they think I'm kidding. So when we get to the restaurant, I open up the trunk and there's a black arm in the trunk.
And you said, who that? What you talking about with
and us? The girls that I carpool with were like, oh my God, how are you ready for a one-armed black man joke at 7 a.m.?
Harrison, but how have I never heard this story?
Oh, Harrison, you've heard this story like 15 times.
Sometimes he's black, sometimes he's Mexican, whatever.
But wait, there is even more to this
story. Come on.
Because the guy that I was sleeping with was on the panel of his roast. It's Dave Butler.
David Butler.
But here's how it all comes full circle. He didn't remember me.
He's like, Butler didn't remember you.
He's like, we've met. I'm like, you've been inside me.
So the black guy with two arms.
David Butler's the one you slept with?
Yes. Yeah. The guy that can do the...
But wait a minute. But I love that. Wait, that's classic. We've met, you've been inside me. Hashtag, you've been inside
the
guy me.
That can hashtag, do, not so lucky, my God. I guess.
Yes.
I don't
the
know.
Guy that can do the handstand was at my 40th roast.
Yes.
And the other one is friends with him. So, like, none of these people are strangers.
Jesus
like,
Christ.
Like, I can't hide from
so
anybody.
So, adding to that.
My God.
Al, this is very
that's
embarrassing.
That's fucking
no,
this is an embarrassing
you are
story.
My new MasterCard
so
commercial.
Adding,
oh, my God.
Adding to all of that, for the longest time.
Actually, you're a black American Express card.
Apparently. Jesus.
Can we get this fan on? Because now I'm sweating.
It's a little warm in here.
Hand me that remote control. To add to that story, for the longest time, the default picture that he had
please.
On Facebook was an aerial shot from BS West for one of, I think it was the going away party, and he's holding the arm.
I'm dancing, and I'll make it my Facebook picture again, but I'm dancing with the one arm.
I'm going there right now.
Oh,
you are a tart.
Yeah, I am a tart.
Now, wasn't there another
it is,
black
that
guy
is the craziest fucking
later.
Thing.
Yes. And then and there is another there is another black man with
one black guy with one arm.
Yes, and everyone thought
come
it was
on,
him, and I'm like, no, at least I know
was
the
it
difference
the right arm
between
or the
all these
left
people.
Arm?
But the worst part is Nathaniel right. and David
huh?
Butler don't look, I don't even know.
They don't look a thing alike.
So Nathaniel does not have his right arm. One of them has it up to here. As Al would say, there's another black gentleman in the Phoenix area and that's missing an arm. And is it the left or the right?
And I identified, I don't know. I didn't notice it was missing in the first place.
Same song. Same song.
I didn't notice it was missing in the first place. How would I know left from right?
Oddly, he had a problem do-si-do-ing.
I can't imagine why. Just grab the
stump. Now, I'm looking through the photos of your Facebook.
The hokey pokey was a rough time.
Tyler just put seven degrees of line dancing.
That's freaking awesome.
Oh my God.
God damn, that's funny. And really, that is what the name of this show is.
Seven degrees of line dancing. That's it.
But you got to stay for hour three to find out
what
we mean.
It's really that's hard to funny. Find a, this picture because so many of your Facebook profile photos are of Jonathan
Blackman.
Well, there's
well.
All right, go
she
ahead.
Has
what's,
both arms.
What's your story? You can't tell without laughing.
Look at me, I'm boring. Katie, go ahead.
Oh, Jesus, story. I can't tell without
laughing. I don't have a, not that I can think of off the top of my head.
Typically, like, I start, I mean.
All right, then we'll go to the next question.
But not like that.
My super crazy drunk story, which I feel like I've already told, is with Marnie, which is at Hamburger Mary's when I was, like, the most embarrassing of my life.
Which, by the way, I can laugh.
You can, because you remember more than me, but only a little bit more than me, because neither of us could close the safe.
By the way, and I don't mean to be rude, honey, I was sober that night.
No, then why couldn't you do it?
Because I could, except for you had something jarred in there, and I couldn't.
Makes perfect sense,
man. I swear, I was sober as a judge that night, which is odd.
But that's one of my embarrassingly sober. I don't remember.
No, but I mean, even there are stories that I can tell where I laugh my ass off when I start. But just off the top of my head, I can't. I don't know.
All right, so Tyler wanted to know about favorite teachers or teachers that inspired you.
Oh, that one's super easy, except for I should have something beverageable.
Uh-oh.
And I didn't realize there's only a short 11 minutes left.
I know, but it could go fast.
What are your summer shanties? Did you have those?
All right. So
I can make it with whiskey again. Go ahead.
Go.
10th grade advanced American literature, Bev Ekholm. I love her. She ridiculously read things so seductively that it made every single one of us uncomfortable. I mean, and she would talk about like Edgar Allan Poe and Ernest Hemingway. What?
I'm sorry to interrupt.
Go ahead, Bubba.
We have 8 live listeners, Australia, 6 from US, and Saudi Arabia.
What?
Saudi Arabia?
That's what I'm saying.
Saudi Arabia, make yourself known unless you're going to blow us up.
United Arab Emirates.
Try not to, Saudi Arabia. I'd like to come there. I'd like to go to there.
I'd like to go to there, too.
I'd like to go to there. Yes, in the tallest building. Isn't that
the Dubai? That's actually in the UAE. That's the
different
building.
Different than Saudi Arabia.
That's the building that spins. That's the building that spins,
does
if
move.
I'm mistaken.
I've had at least one more glass than you. So.
Every floor in that building, if I'm mistaken, it's on axis.
I believe it does.
That's fantastic.
Okay, wait. So, Miss Sabadella, you were saying?
Bev Ekholm.
Thank you.
Yes, similar to what you were saying, but different. She was actually, truly, the inspiration. I was going to be a 10th grade advanced American lit teacher in all honesty, Columbine happened. And then I said, fuck that. And it was Columbine and Pearl, Mississippi, and in Oregon, which I can't think of where it was in Oregon. But there were all these things that happened, like, right around 1998, right in there, just crazy shit. And then I learned about my high school, which was predominantly white and Jewish and the whole nine yards. And they all of a sudden had, where you had to walk through metal detectors and all this other shit.
Mass murderers and serial killers and all that are predominantly white.
No. And I agree with you. But I'm saying in my head, I was like, what the hell?
Yeah.
You know, like this place that I grew up in, that didn't make sense to me for teaching.
Right.
For as far as to go into and teach. And I thought, no, hell no.
Everybody else kills one-on-one, but the white people, we go in.
Yeah,
we go in groups.
And
that's
mass.
Very true.
And it is very true.
It's true. Yeah. It's absolutely true. So I just decided, no. But Bev Ekholm, I just thought was, that would be my That would be my answer. And to this day, every time I go back to Minnesota, minus this last trip, I've always wanted to walk in and, you know, kind of go up to her door and not scare the shit out of her, but be like, you know, how are you? Just to thank her.
We have about 5 minutes left show. So go over, tell your story, but no, we have a little time restraint.
I had two teachers that I really liked. One was Mr. Green. He was my AP English teacher. And then the other one was Mrs. Gloy. She was my AP biology teacher.
In Buckhead City.
Yes, Buckhead City. Whatever.
Buckhead. The way we're pronouncing things here, Buckhead's
yeah,
fine.
It can be anything.
Everything's
you
European.
Want.
Everything.
If you can't pronounce it. Yeah.
But both of them were really cool. They, Mrs. Gloy was only a few years older than we were. We always wanted to actually hang out with her. And on senior trip, we tried to get her to come hang out with like our little group. And you know, obviously, if we weren't at school, she would have done it. But now she's actually a valet driver. She quit school.
And, oh.
Yeah.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah, so she just works at one of the casinos now. And then Mr. Green, he was just amazingly... he just like pushed everything, and it was very. He looked like Shakespeare, and he was very, you know, into like all the literature, and he just made it. He just made it an amazing experience. So those are the two that I really enjoyed.
Okay, so I think mine are one Mrs. England from first grade, which how ridiculous is that? But she was. I was really good with my phonics and my phonogram cards, and she used to like just make me feel like a superstar. And she gave me like a really good part in the Cabbage Patch Kids play that we did every year.
And now you're doing their diet.
Now the diet, yes.
Oh my God, it comes full circle.
Uh-huh.
And so I love Miss England from first grade. And then also Miss Ryu from eighth grade. She was so fucking spectacular. And she made every kid feel like they were just stunning. And she was 4'0". And she was like this fat little lady. And every kid loved her. In eighth grade. It's hard to get an eighth grader to love you. And everyone loved her. And she just made everybody feel special. Like, whether you wrote, like, a complete fucking moron or you were, like, the next Shakespeare, like, she made you feel good. And then Mr. Rowe in high school, he was my favorite teacher in high school. He was the only teacher I cheated and lied. I ditched his class. Yeah, this is actually true. I ditched his class. I lied about it. But my dad was a principal in another school. Hashtag he found out and that I lied, and I said I was in Mr. Rowe's class. Mr. Rowe pulled me in his office. He was fucking pissed. Like, there was no, you're a good student, so I'll let you go. He was fucking pissed that I lied about it, and it just taught me a good lesson. It was a very humbling. I thought I was a real superstar. And he put me in my place, and it was a good experience, and I really, really, really loved him. So,
oh, nice.
Clayton?
There were two that immediately come to mind. One, and oddly, I've been thinking of her lately, so I should probably research and find out if she is actually still with us. Julie Riley, Mrs. Riley, was my seventh, and she taught social studies, which was what it was called back in the day. I have no idea what it's called now. She was literally about 4'11". She was a tiny, tiny little woman. She drove a Volvo the same year as my mom's car was at the time, so we had a bond.
How did you know
that.
What your teacher drove?
Because I'm a car person.
Yeah, that's another thing.
Julie Riley. She was fantastic. But I remember, aside from classroom and aside from studies, just even talking to her, she was one of those teachers that she talked to you like you were her equal. And I remember that feeling that no matter what you talked about, she related to you on that level. And she got you, or she acted like she got you, and you felt special. You totally felt like somebody gets me.
Yeah.
And I remember that feeling from her. The other one was, and I didn't realize that she was going to be an ally of mine, Carrie Hemby. Miss Hemby was my home ec teacher. And you know, like in seventh grade, you have to take, like, you know, each quarter you take an elective, like the shop, and there's home ec, and there's blah, blah, chorus, or whatever the fuck it was. I wound up staying with her all the years. I was seventh, eighth, ninth, and tenth grade. I stayed with her, and I became, like, her assistant. And I did all of her book work. I did all of her stuff, all of her class planning. And she was just phenomenal. I remember at one point, like, my jeans either ripped or a zipper failed or something happened. And she, like, drove me home to get new jeans in the middle of the day because I couldn't continue through the day with that. So, but Carrie Hemby, she was special. But Julie Riley really was, she was a special gal. She was a
Was she
great,
a music teacher? Or no.
No.
Home ec.
No. Home ec?
Oh, Carrie, Miss Hemby was home ec, but Julie Riley was social studies.
Social studies, okay.
Yeah, so, and this is the Carl Junction High School, or excuse me, Carl Junction R1 school district in Missouri. But yeah, those are the two that really, really stuck out in my head. Those two. Yeah. Alfred?
All right. Got my time down.
Go.
My first one would be Mrs. Gornicki, who I got her name right, in the eighth grade when we've all heard the story about having to eat lunch in a teacher's room.
Yes.
Heard that she put me up there, but it was very interesting. We would eat our sandwiches. She never brought up the fact that I had to eat with her. Like, I couldn't go in the lunchroom. It was never the topic of conversation. She would tell me about the Holocaust. I would help her grade her French papers, which is why I can kind of fake my way through a little bit of French. She was just very kind to me and very nice, and she never ever brought up why I was eating lunch with her.
So you didn't feel inferior at all?
I did, but it was wonderful conversations and telling me all about being in Poland during World War II, because she knew I was a little bit of a history buff. So that went. And then Mr. Church in my English class, and I had him for junior and senior year, and just got me into Shakespeare, and he would play the records, and just watching him be so into it, and then reading Shakespeare and hearing it done, and then occasionally we would watch a movie, but mostly we would just listen to the recordings of Shakespeare, and it made it so much better, but watching his face, like, mm-hmm. And then he would explain it, and he was so passionate that I'm a big fan. And then the last one is Mr. Vitullo, who was a classmate's father, and he was a social studies teacher, and he taught economics my senior year, and everybody knew that there was a bunch of us that should have graduated, but they decided that year that it was bad to graduate kids early. It was a social experiment they felt was going wrong and led to, like, the wrong thing, so we had to take all these bullshit classes our senior year, and there was a big tragedy, and he was so good about it, and one of the kindest men, and a friend of mine's father, and he was one of my dad's best friends as a child. And he just knew the right. He was the only person on a very bad day that said the right things and was silent and just respected us as, like, young adults that were going through something hard. And it was one of those moments of, like, clarity and poignancy and from an adult of, like, doing the right thing. That it was a great example to me of, like, how to act.
And there we have it, an uplifting song or a segment to end our show on. It is the end of hour three. Thank
that
you for
went
being
by
here.
Way too
that
fast.
Was very, very quick tonight. Thank you, Sean Dardal, for bringing
you,
our
Sean.
Stuff to us.
Well done.
In our final 10 seconds, we would like to say we will see you
next
Tuesday.
You've been listening to The Show with Clayton McKee on Q Talk Arizona.